Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hi. We were talking earlier about Jaguars. Jaguar is a car that's gone through a renaissance, I suppose. I don't know. I really don't know. I know that people buy Jags simply because they don't want to be seen in a Mercedes. And why don't they want to be seen in a Mercedes? Because they don't want to look like everybody else that owns a Mercedes. And that means, yeah, if you own a Mercedes, you're going to look like a guy that has a Mercedes. I suppose they think there's too many of them out there. You remember when BMW was a car that looked cool? And now, like, it doesn't? Unless you have one of those big BMW sedans that looks like, well, a Jaguar. Anyway, we were talking about Jags, and that naturally led us to the conversation of crap box cars, because at one time, Jaguar was considered to be one of the all-time most disgusting, money-draining, overrated pieces of turd rolling down the highway in the history of man on this planet was the Jaguar. And nobody can deny it. Everybody knows it. Everyone knows they had the reputation. Then Ford took them over, and suddenly you see a lot of them out there. You see those XJRs, the XJHs, you see those Van Dans, you see a lot of Jags. So I suppose somebody's doing something right when it comes to Jag. But a lot of those cars that went by the wayside, when I was coming up in the world and I had a few dollars to throw around and I thought it would look pretty cool to drive a convertible, the only one that I could afford was a thing called a Triumph Spitfire. And I had a Triumph Spitfire. You should have heard this thing going down the road. It was like a lawnmower. That's what it sounded like. I remember I was out driving in this thing with my dad one night. I took my old man to a football game. And we're driving. He goes, have you got this thing out of third gear? Because that's the way you're talking in a Triumph, you know? Yeah, how you doing? Real good. Some with the British, they think that, you know, if you are going to own a sports car, it's got to sound like one, it's got to act like one. In other words, it's got to sound like one, it's got to be loud, and then it's got to act like one. It's got to drip a lot of oil, and you got to be under it fooling with it every Saturday. In other words, you got to be working on it all the time. I didn't spend my money to have this thing up on freaking blocks on Saturday morning, crawling underneath the thing, plugging another oil leak, putting another air filter in, retuning it, because the slightest little bump in the road threw the timing off to the point where it sounds like... And my father says, son, is this still in third gear, man? Have you shifted down to... No, it's in fourth. It sounded like the bloody thing was so loud and you were winding it out so much. When you had it in fourth, it sounded like it was in second. Just... I drove that thing all the way down to Anaheim Stadium for a Monday night L.A. Ram game, and then all the way back up to the South Bay with my poor, dear old senior citizen father sitting shotgun. And this thing. It was really crappy. And there was another one called a Fiat. Anybody ever own a Fiat or remember the Fiat? And you know the old joke, it was Fix It Again Tony, F-I-A-T. It meant Fix It Again Tony. And why? Because most people thought, Italian cars... weren't any good. Then there was one called the Renault, and then there was the Renault Dauphine. Now, I don't know the difference between either. I don't know. They may be the same car, but the Renault was another French car, and it sucked. And then there was the MG, the MGB, and then the MGBT. And all of that stood for one thing, turd. There was the MG, the MGB, the MGBT, and the TURD. There was the MGTURD, and then the BLT, which is, frankly, the best of all of them. Because has there ever been anything to top the BLT? No, there hasn't. So all of these cars, you know, were crap boxes. They were foreign. They were, and again, you can talk about American. Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm not talking about a car with a basic design flaw. I'm talking about a car that if they just tightened the bolts a little bit tighter, if they just made the time, they might have been good cars. Unlike, for instance, American crap box cars like Pinto, Hornet, these were cars that had basic engineering flaws. Gas tank in the rear, bad idea, flames, third-degree burns, hell. Hornet, bottom falls out of carburetor. You know, these are cars with basic design flaws. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these cars that they could have been great. They could have been great. They could have been contenders instead of bums, which is what they was. Crappy TR6. What is that? Was that a Triumph? Remember the TR6? Oh, is it better than the TR5? I don't know. These were all British cars, or they were French, or they were like Italian or something. And by the way, I'm seeing Ferraris popping up more and more now because there are more and more people with money. Ferrari, at one time, was that Italian car that was only painted red, and it was fast. And when's the last time you saw a Ferrari win a race? What did I say? I was drinking on New Year's Eve with Bobby and Steve, excuse me. And guess who has a new SUV now? You'll never guess. Logically, Porsche, of course. Why wouldn't a sports car manufacturer make an SUV? Makes sense to me. What? 1-800-449-8686. So what's the biggest crap box you ever owned in your life? Craig Taylor.
Ford Probe.
A Ford Probe?
Ford Probe GT.
My girlfriend had a Probe. And I ain't talking about the car either. No, she had a Probe. You just got rid of it last week? How many years did you own that thing?
About a year.
A year, and it never ran right, right? Ford Probe. Ford Tempo? You owned a Tempo, or you just heard they sucked? How about you, Janice? A Datsun pickup. Now, I'm surprised, because Datsun, not a sexy car, but I never had a problem with. I had a B210. I had a Datsun B210. Yeah, I had a B210. Little piece of crap. I could have afforded a better car. I've never known anything about cars, and I've never really been a guy who got the connection between women and cars until it was too late. You know, if you get a better car, Henry, it doesn't matter how ugly you are. You'll still get broads because they like, oh, really? Yeah. Now do you get it? No, I don't. Right. Oh, forget it. Jackass. Mine, it's a toss-up. There's no doubt that the AMC Hornet, of course, was my favorite piece of crap. But I've got to think on this. I had a Ford Falcon. That's a great car. I didn't mean to bring that up in the same breath with crap cars. This Ford Falcon I had was marvelous. It was a 1969 Ford Falcon. And when I went to sell it, I had hundreds of phone calls. Hundreds. And I finally found out that there is a subculture of Ford Falcon devotees who buy these things and restore them. I mean, millions of Ford Falcon freaks. I sold the thing for like $100. I could have gotten five times the value had I been brighter, but ain't that the story of my life? What do you think about that, Martin Kondracki? So, I got to go probably with the Hornet, and if I can think of anything else, I will. But the Hornet, man, oh, baby. And that morning that I got out of bed and I had tonsillitis, and I had to go to work, and my throat was killing me, and I start the engine, and the bottom falls out of the carburetor. I can smell gas leaking all over the place, and I'm having my friend help me push start the thing. There's no way you push start a car that has effectively no carburetor. It has no carburation, and we're trying to push start it. And I smell gas, and I got a gas leak somewhere. I finally popped the hood. The bottom had fallen out of this thing. You know, they talk about lawsuits filed against the tobacco companies. There ought to be just one big, all-encompassing, final bell, last shot, last call lawsuit filed against the automakers of America on behalf of all of us that had to suffer through the Hornets, the Pintos, and all the other crap burgers that we drove down through low these many years. And then it's over. Knock them up for about, say, what do you figure, like $500 billion. Spread it out between all of us. Boom, it's over. Take a thought, well, what do you figure, 30 years for the auto industry to get back on its feet? But in the meantime, we got all the rice rockets coming over. We'd be fine. 1-800-449-8686. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. John?
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
Great, man.
Hey, yeah, my parents owned a Renault Alliance and a Hornet.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Got a Renault Alliance.
Yeah, that was my first car. That thing was such a piece of crap.
Now, what was this? Like, it's what they used to call a compact car, right?
Yeah, what was it? It was actually a four-door that they had.
Was it a four-banger?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
it had like a
1.2 liter or something in there.
Yeah, a little four-cylinder pile. And
yeah.
You'd go down the road in this thing, and you looked like you were bigger in the car sitting in it, right?
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever have a car where your girlfriend had to crawl through the passenger window to get into it?
Well, with this car, I never had a girlfriend.
So. Le car. All right, man, thank you. Thanks. I had a car once that, for some reason, I had the air filter sitting on the passenger side floorboard, and my girlfriend had to crawl through the passenger side window to get in, and we were going out one night, and she was very nicely dressed, but she crawled through the window, which is very unladylike to begin with, and then got oil all over her pants from this air filter that I had sitting there. So it was just many years before we broke up. You talk about class. But I was young then. I was 46. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
This Massachusetts hockey death trial has begun. A man accused of beating another father to death after their son's hockey practice went on trial. Jury selection began in the trial of Thomas Junta, 42. He's charged with manslaughter. In the 2000-year death of Michael Costin, jurors were asked if their children played on sports teams and if they ever witnessed a fight between parents. They didn't want to introduce pictures, the autopsy photos, because they were so brutal that it might prejudice a jury. And the guy faces up to 20 years in prison. What's the difference between manslaughter and murder? Manslaughter is you beat a guy within an inch of his life, and murder is you kill him. Or you, manslaughter is not planned murder. I wonder why there's a difference. You know what I'm saying? I wonder why the law makes a differentiates between a crime of passion and just a crime. Accidentally kill a guy, I can see that. Like, if you're driving a car and you're driving it fast. On second thought, I don't get the difference. I don't see the difference between killing somebody by accident and killing them on purpose. Because if you're driving drunk, that shows culpability, and if you got into an accident as a result and killed some people, that you knew when you got in the car and you're drunk, you're going to kill them, right? If you're driving the car fast or in a reckless manner and you've got any brains at all, you know that what you're doing could lead to potentially the death of the people in the car. And by the same token, a fist fight, if you strike somebody, this culture and this society of people were weaned on westerns and movies where people get into fist fights. And then the guy gets his ass kicked, and then the victor goes, hey, and then he gets on his horse and he rides away, right? The reality is the man whose ass you kicked today will come back tomorrow with a gun and cap you as sure as you're standing there. There is no such thing as beating somebody up with your fists, so I guess you do have to kill them. Look at this. Craig had a friend who got into a fight with a guy, and the guy had a heart attack. He died, and his friend was charged with manslaughter. What happened to him? He was found not guilty. I suppose the only way that you could say that the guy's not guilty is if the fight was to defend himself, if somebody attacked you, and you're defending yourself, and you beat the guy to death, then the law has got to hold in your favor. But if you're walking out onto the ice because your kid's coach did something wrong, and you use your fists as violent weapons, and you kill somebody, as far as I'm concerned, it's murder. I know nobody's listening to me, but I don't understand why there is a you want to change people's view toward violent death? Why don't you change the laws as it pertains to manslaughter, murder, or whatever? Oh, who gives a crap? Okay, I'm sorry. Shut up, Phil, and let's talk more about cars, all right? Let's talk about manslaughter. The guy I bought that Triumph from, I'm going to tell you. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. And then the only other news is they're playing the clowns arrived in Afghanistan. Isn't this just heartwarming? An international contingent of clowns is planning a trip to Afghanistan to teach the country's people how to laugh again. Isn't that sweet? Do you know that in 6 months we'll get a story? Cave full of clowns found dead. A cave filled with 75 clowns, all dead. because they pissed off some anti-Taliban guys so much that they decided to just machine gun them in a cave. You know, Chucko the Clown was quoted as saying, geez, I didn't know they didn't like the spinning hat. In other news, all right, let's go over to Tom in Philly. Tom, hi. Okay, Tom, thanks for your call. Here is Gary. Gary,
hello?
How you doing?
Yeah. Good, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, how about the gremlin or the Vega?
How about that? That's what I had, a gremlin. I didn't have a hornet, and I didn't have a pacer. And I didn't gremlin. Have a Vega. I had the gremlin.
Gremlins, they're terrible.
Really?
Yeah, I had one.
How many did you own?
I had one gremlin. My dad bought it for me when I was 16. It was supposed to be like a...
Is that child abuse?
Kind of.
That's technically child abuse, isn't it?
Yeah, I was driving it home, going up the hill, and it blew up like a bomb.
Maybe he was trying to get rid of you.
A freaking rod came right through the pan.
It blew up like a bomb. What, the hood? The hood flew off?
No, nah, it's just the whole bomb, the oil pan came off, made a loud bang, and all the oil come gushing out of it.
And it dropped the rod, too, huh?
Yeah, the rod came right out of the pan.
Let me guess, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and you were 50 miles from home.
I was about 30 miles from home. It was about 12 o'clock.
Perfect.
Hey, if you want a good sports car, get a Vette.
Nice car, isn't it?
I just bought a 96, man. I've never bought another car but another Vette.
That's a beautiful thing. How much was it for a 96?
Well, I traded an old muscle car. I had a Trans Am, and I traded an old Vette in, and I got it for 12 grand.
You got a 96 Vette for 12 G's, huh?
No, I got the Vette for 12,000, but I traded an old Trans Am and an old Vette.
Oh, you got a couple of trade-ins? What'd they value at?
They gave me 6 for each one.
They wow, so that's 24 grand.
Yeah, it was 24. But I'll tell you what, I don't even miss them old cars.
I was going to get one, but it's only a two-seater. I got, like, people in my family. I got, you know what I'm, you know, I got to be able to carry kids.
Did you ever drive one?
Never drove a Vette, no. Is it automatic? Or you got a? Is it a manual or automatic?
I got an automatic, but I wanted a 6-speed, but I got an automatic.
They sell a 6-speed?
Yeah.
They come with a 6-speed, the new models?
The new models do, yeah. The brand new ones do. They all from.
You know what? How old are you, man?
35.
See, you're young enough to drive a Vette. I get into a Vette and I look like a complete and utter asshole. Yeah, right. Ah. Thanks. Yeah, sure, Grandpa. That's great. There you are in your Vette.
Take it for a ride. You'll buy one. That's what I did. My brother bought one. The next day, I traded both my muscle cars.
Any old man driving a sports car it's sad.
You think?
Yeah, well, it looks like the guy's trying to, you know, Bob just got back from the penile implant clinic, huh? Got yourself, okay, that's great.
Nah.
All right, man.
A lot older guys.
Okay, yeah. Brother. I appreciate it. Thanks. Bye. Yeah. I'm not that old. I mean, I'm a young 49. 1-800-449-8686. Grady, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Grady.
Curiosity question. You made a comment a few seconds ago, and I wasn't real sure what it was about. You had asked a question about when was the last time that Ferrari had won a car race, and I'm just
the answer is what, like 2 weeks ago?
More or less, that's correct.
Oh, okay. You know what? There was a time when I followed road racing that Ferrari was really a, when I say road racing, I guess I'm talking more Grand Prix.
Correct, and Formula One.
Yeah, Formula One, and Ferrari was winning a lot of races. Now, I hadn't heard of that manufacturer in a long time dominating the Grand Prix circuit the way they had it one time. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Well, are they now? Are they now racing as a team and they have a prominent position there along the Grand Prix circuit? Is that true?
Absolutely. They won the World Drivers Championship as well as Constructor.
And let me ask you, who's driving for them?
Rubens Barrichello is their number two driver, and the number one driver is a guy named Michael Schumacher.
Michael Schumacher, very well known, yeah. You know, the thing about Grand Prix, I'm like a lot of Americans. Well, I'm not like a lot of Americans. I used to stay in touch with Grand Prix racing, but it's what the rest of the world does when we're sitting watching our NASCAR races. In other words, Grand Prix is the soccer of auto racing. And we sit on our asses and we watch the car go round and round in circle. We watch a lot of those left turns. Grand Prix racing, on the other hand, it's sophisticated. You'll probably get laid a lot if you get, you know, into the inner circle of... Because it's, you know, the ascot and the mustache and I don't know, I'm going to Le Mans tomorrow. Don't bother me, you know. But how do you watch those races? Because it's like, okay, one turn and then the car's gone. And then they come back. It's another turn. You watch them on TV. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
So we went to the movies this past, Christmas vacation. I got two. The two movies I saw, I would recommend. But one, you really got to see, and I don't want to tell you anything about it. The movie's called A Beautiful Mind, and it's with Russell Crowe, and it's about a mathematician named John Nash. And he recently won the Nobel Prize in 1994 for game theory mathematics. I have no idea what that is, but let's just say this guy's brilliant. Well, the movie is about his life. I'm not going to tell you anything more. I guarantee this movie's going to blow your mind. Now, I read the reviews, and it's a biographical film that doesn't follow exactly the way his life went. Like, for instance, his wife really divorced him in 1963, but then remarried him. Well, whatever, man. I mean, the movie is about a particular topic and deals with it in the best way. I can't tell you what it's about. If I do, then I'll give it away. Ordinarily, I give away movies. Like, I had people calling me up and saying, how come you gave away Saving Private Ryan? I said, because it's in a history. What do you mean, gave it away? We beat the Germans, gave it away. Well, you said what happened at the beginning. Oh, you mean guys got shot? Yeah. Oh, shoot. You didn't know the guys got shot on D-Day on the freaking beach. I'm sorry. What, are you nuts or something? What do you mean I gave away Saving Private Ryan? The thing opened up, the guys got shot, then a bunch of them hit the beach, they shot the Germans. What did I give away? Well, you didn't tell us that it happened like that. Well, I hate to break the news, but when the guys went on the thing at D-Day, they got shot. What, all the other movies, they didn't get shot? Well, yeah, they went like that longest day with John Wayne, man, they didn't get shot at all. No, you're right. When the guys got shot in that movie, they went, ow, and they fell down. You mean like in Saving Private Ryan, they got cut in half with a machine gun. Is that what you mean? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, let me just tell you now that when the guys actually got shot, they got, pretty messed up. What are you talking about? I gave away Saving Private Ryan. But this movie, if I open my mouth any more about it, I'll give it away. Just let me just tell you, go see this flick. This is really great. Ron Howard directed it. He always makes good movies, doesn't he? I know he doesn't make your basic art house fare, and I'm as art housey a guy as the next of you, the rest of you, the next of kin, whatever. I go down there to my little art house, and I watch Life is Beautiful and Life Blows and, 20 Mule Team Borax or whatever that's playing. Everything with the subtitles and some clown with the umbrella and the balloon and who gives a. I go watch all this stuff. But Ron Howard, he makes a good movie. But this Beautiful Mind, you got to see it. Now, the other one that we saw Ali. That's a good flick, if for no other reason than the kid, Will Smith, out of sight. He's real good. And so is John Voight. But a little too much makeup there, John, to look like Howard Cosell. I come from that Anthony Hopkins school of, if you want to play Richard Nixon, the first thing you do, don't look like him. I don't know why it worked, but it did. You ever see Anthony Hopkins play Nixon? He didn't do any makeup. He just kind of hunched his shoulders and went, John, I'm not a crook. He just did all that stuff. It worked for whatever reason. I don't know why. Well, the whole deal with John Voight plays Howard Cosell in this Ali. And, man, he's got about 68,000 pounds of makeup with the big ears and the big honking freaking nose. And we get it. He's Jewish. Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure. You know that he's Jewish? With that nose. Okay, I got it. But he was really good, and Will Smith was terrific. And they staged the Rumble in the Jungle, the Foreman fight, brilliantly, just beautiful. The fight scenes are choreographed better than any you've ever seen in any movie. I don't care what fight movie you want to talk about, this film choreographs the fight scenes better than any. They look real. There's real blows being struck. The cats that played Joe Frazier and Foreman had their styles down, especially the guy that played Frazier. And if any of you guys out there are like me, an old creep driving a Corvette, if you're like me, an old guy trying to drive a Corvette and look young, then you'll remember Frazier's fighting style, bobbing and weaving and those little compact arms going in, trying to get inside of Ali. And the actor that, I don't know who it was, but he had him down beautifully. And Foreman, the guy that played Foreman, they've got a scene in the training room before the fight. They're in Zaire, and this guy is like 100 roundhouse rights hitting this bag, and you think an atomic bomb's being dropped. That's how big this dude is and how powerful this guy is hitting this bag. You think the freaking bag is going to come off the chain. Then he goes back to the left hand and he starts doing it. So it was just brilliant from that standpoint. But Will Smith and John Voight together doing all the Cosell and Ali exchange stuff that they used to do on Wide World of Sports is dead on, perfect. They deal with his conversion to Islam very well, all the period of his life when he was out of fighting because of the draft evasion conviction, and then he was overturned, you know, then it was overturned rather by the Supreme Court. It's really a good movie. Don't take a kid to see it, because the problem with this flick is there's like an interminable beginning to it where the music goes on forever and the credits go on forever, and it's like, will you shut up already with the Sam Cooke music? I understand it's the early 60s. Other than that, damn good movie. All right, 1-800-449. So there's the two that I saw. Beautiful Mind, Ali, and Craig says Lord of the Rings is great, but get stoned first. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine, Mike. How are you?
Fine. You forgot to mention one of the biggest pieces of junk of all time, the 1973 MG Midget. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. MG Midget.
I had one of those back folks, when I was a sophomore in
high
school.
Are you feeling unsafe in a car? Well, how about getting one even smaller than the one you have, so that when you get hit in this one, it'll be just like one big steel tomb. Big
I
steel
tell you,
coffin.
It was a chick magnet, but it didn't take any rain, just a storm cloud, and that thing would poop right out.
You know why that car was a chick magnet? Because women have it down that the bigger the car a man drives, the smaller he is. The smaller the car the man drives, it must also conversely apply, the larger he is. So that's why that was a chick magnet.
Well, there's only one way, to take him outside and ask him to stick their head in the window there and get your cigarettes for you.
You do what?
Well, they've got to get them outside and ask them to put their head in the window there and get your cigarettes off the console for you. That was the only way.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, if you knew what he was referring to or can decipher that call at all, please give us a call at 1-800-449-8686. You could win a nice toaster oven. Here's Jack on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Fine.
To determine what that man just said, it's just like putting a king-size bed inside a shoebox, okay? But what I'm calling about, I got the lemon of all lemons, guaranteed. You ready for this one?
Hold on. Let me get ready. Go ahead.
The 1997 Plymouth Peon Neon.
Oh, the Neon.
Correct.
I thought that was a Dodge.
Plymouth Dodge, it's both the same. It's a Chrysler product.
Yeah, I rented one of those when I first came to California this last time. I had a Neon.
Right.
Mercifully, it was hit from behind by some old lady and destroyed. So
right.
That was terrific. Yeah, the Neon. You know, what was so bad about it, man? Wait, it was just ugly?
No, it's the head gasket. I've actually been online with this, and there's over 5,000 people that's had the same exact problem with it.
Good God.
And you know what? Chrysler's denying the whole thing, too.
They're denying what? That they ever made the car? That's not ours. It's Japanese.
Yeah, they should.
Wait a second. I know you bought it from Chrysler. No, that's someone else. No, well, I suggest to you, Jack, the the 2002 Z6 $49,000 Corvette. Have fun, my friend. 51.8 loaded, according to my young friend, Mr. Taylor. Or, if you'd like, and that, by the way, has 405 horsepower, 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds. That is the 2002 Z6 Corvette, $49,000. Have fun, and if you guys like me, you got kids, well, I don't know, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. I can't buy that car. You don't buy, when you got four kids, you don't buy a freaking two-seater sports car. You don't do it.
Well, just have your wife go buy an SUV.
Yeah, theoretically that works. But it can't always be the kids sitting in the SUV, you know. Sometimes you're the guy that gets stuck with them. Sometimes you're the guy that's got to go pick people up. Sometimes you're the guy that's got to go and, you know, retrieve somebody from school. And she's got the other car because she's off someplace else. You can't do it. I had a friend of mine had a Corvette, and he had three daughters. Well, he could stick one in the seat next to him, and then he had to cram the other two in the luggage space, you know, that kind of hatchback that the Corvette's got? And they'd have to lay down flat on their stomachs. This is how he picked his kids up from school. You know, his poor kids. Not that the kids loved it. You know, they thought it was fun, but it's... Okay, everybody want to make like their golf clubs again? Yay! All right, just lay in flat. That's it. And you get to be the spare tire today. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The first ever Phil Hendry Show listener party coming up February 22nd to the 24th at the Las Vegas Hilton. You'll get VIP check-in. You will be able to take advantage of a surprise gift pack. You'll receive 3 days and two nights for two people, gambling, match, and play. You know how that works. $10, you bet. You get $10 from the casino, plus two for one tickets to see Sheena Easton, two free tickets to the Star Trek Experience right there at the Hilton, a Park Place Entertainment coupon book valued at over $1,000, two for one entry to the Las Vegas Hilton's luxurious spa, and separate VIP check-in, all for just, check this out, $379 plus tax based on double occupancy. Oh my God. What a price. What a price. Join us for our first ever Phil Hendry Show listening party the weekend of February 22nd to the 24th in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Hilton. For reservations, please call 1-888-445-8844. 1-888-445-8844. Ask for the Phil Hendry package. Let's go to Trinity. Hi, Trinity. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I was just calling about the 97 Neons that the guy talked about.
Yeah.
And it's true, because I own a 97 Neon, and my head gasket broke.
Yeah.
It didn't even have 50,000 miles on the car. But, I mean, you should get a warranty when you buy a car, because obviously if there's going to be something wrong with it, it's going to happen within the first 100,000 miles.
Well, didn't you have a warranty? Didn't you have a warranty?
Oh, yeah, I had a warranty. It cost me $50 instead of $800.
The warranty cost you $50?
No, the warranty when I went to get my car.
Oh, well, absolutely. So, yeah, yeah. Well, what I guess what he was saying, are you saying that he was bitching about the expense or just the fact that the car has a faulty part?
Well, yeah, well, actually, I think it was just the faulty part he was talking about, but I mean...
You should get bumper to bumper on your car for at least 50,000 miles. Listen,
well,
to this.
I
sound
I
like it's Car Talk with Phil Hendry. Well, that's right, Trinity. 50, or maybe I should say... Oh, that's right, Trinity. You should get 50,000 miles and bumper-to-bumper coverage, all right? But you, what I would do if I were you is I'd talk to my mechanic and make sure that the oil spring isn't loose. I think you find that you've got a timing gear that's out and probably the rod has shifted. All right, dear?
Okay,
you thanks
for
calling. All right, all happy trails to you. Put it into 10th gear. Let the good times roll. All right, this is Car Talk with Ass Johnson. I'm Ass, and you give us a call here. And another thing I don't do, and I know a lot of you call and say, hey, Ass, can you tell me a little bit about my Nissan? Well, I don't talk about no Jap car, all right? Now, that's just, I got no racial thing going on, but no Jap car talk on this program. I will not do it. I lost several friends in World War II. I had a friend of mine walk into a sushi bar in Tokyo and take out, well, I don't want to say, but he had a hand grenade. Anyway, so we will not talk Jap car talk at all. You want Jap car talk? You can go to that click and clack. Those two, they'll talk Jap car talk all the time, all day, morning, noon, and night, all day long till the cow come home. Word up. Sure, the cat finishes out with word up. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Eric. Eric, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, how you doing, man?
Good.
Good.
Hey, I've got a car sitting in my field called a Hugo.
Well, now that's not a bad car. It's just a cheap car, right?
Yeah, real cheap. $3,000 brand new.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And the thing don't fall apart, do it?
No, I'm selling it.
How'd you like me saying it don't fall apart, do it?
Yeah.
You're selling it?
Yeah, $200.
Because you can't get laid driving something like that? Well, I can understand.
And it comes with a free roll of toilet paper.
Well, happy trails there, Eric. Bug off. Let's go over here to Sam on the Phil Hendry Show. Sam?
Oh, hi. How are you?
How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I just wanted to... I talk about the experience with British cars that I had. I started out with a Triumph Spitfire like you did, and that was like back when I was 18 years old, back
right.
in the 70s and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, a couple of years ago, I've always owned weird cars, and a couple of years ago, the place where I get my mufflers done, had a Rover SD1 for sale.
Oh, my God, that British Rover?
Well, not a Land Rover.
Range Rover.
No, not a Range Rover, a Rover Rover. It was like a four-door sports car.
It had the
General Motors aluminum V8 and a 5-speed and rear-wheel drive and hatchback. And, it was 1981. And I figured that, the state of the art being what it was back in the 60s when the Spitfire was made, I mean, it had to have improved by the 80s.
And that's why you bought a Rover. Okay, that makes sense. What? What do you mean Spitfire and I bought a Rover and had to improve? I'm moving on, brother. Venus, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, hi. Hey, Phil.
Venus, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you white?
Yes.
Okay. It's a white girl named Venus. Okay,
well,
you win.
Well, my mother's from Italy, so it's kind of common.
No, it's a beautiful name. It's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Are you a stripper?
No.
Never mind. I'm kidding. Go ahead, Venus.
Okay, the worst car I have ever owned was a Saturn SL2. It was a 96. At 18,000 miles, everything started to go wrong with it. I traded it in at 32,000. It had been in the shop about 15 times for different things.
Wow, a Saturn. Jeez.
A Saturn. And I pity the person who ever got that car.
Wow. And, of course, you had no problem selling it to him, though, did you?
No,
well, you know,
I traded it in.
I that's the first time I heard that about Saturn, but...
Yeah.
Are those the guys that make the electric car? They are.
GM, actually.
GM makes the electric car? Well, who? And GM owns Saturn? All right, here's the story with that EV1. I want to get that. But you wouldn't believe, at least the Saturn dealer that I went into, and I don't want to say where, but it was in Thousand Oaks, and I went in there, and you would have thought I was asking the guy, can you tell me where I can find the tomb of Tutankhamun? Well, that's a very secret thing, you see. I mean, I might have been asking this cat, can you just go ahead and give me the key to Fort Knox? Where's the Holy Grail, brother? Well, you understand, the guy who knows about, I can't go into it right now. Well, no, I'm talking about the EV1. I test drove those electric cars. They're sweet. You talk about quick. That thing, 0 to 60, I think, is like under 4 seconds, too. Like, I swear to God, man, it's fast. Now, it's got a range of about 80 miles on the battery, which means you can only commute in town in it. You're not going to be taking on any big road trips. And I think they lease it out at about $370 a month. But the upside is that it's a statement on the whole, Arab oil thing, ain't it? Or does it take more Arab oil to produce the electricity that powers the Saturn than it would ordinarily that you would use in your car? See, that's the whole thing. People say, use electric cars. Yes, but the Arab oil that it took to power the electric plant to create the electricity that I now put into my EV1, I may be giving them even more money. I'm just trying to find ways desperately to take that bread away from them and give it back to us, and they can drown in their freaking oil as far as I'm concerned. I'm so tired of them. Tired of looking at them, tired of hearing about them, tired of reading about them, everything. I don't mind reading about that goat ball those guys are playing over there, though. That looks like fun. All right, our number, 1-800-449-8686. But more importantly, here's the number I want you to remember, 1-888-445-8844 for your Phil Henry Party Package, February 22nd to the 24th at the Las Vegas Hilton.